Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage. I'm Adam Lowry. Today we are powered by SWATMMA.com. That's my friends Jeff and Julian at SWAT MMA Extreme and Fitness in Winter Garden, Florida. From jiu-jitsu to personal training, kickboxing, Muay Thai, or just all-around fitness, you really need to check out my friends Jeff and Julian at SWATMMA.com. They will change your life.
I'm really excited about today's segment. This is part one of the podcast series that we're going to be doing once a week, where we're joining the Kodiak High School football team out in Alaska. I've been talking with them a little while, and some of their journeys that they go through during the football season are just quite amazing. And we wanted to follow them through this season and have them on once a week just to follow the boys and see how they're doing. This segment's called The Boys of Kodiak, and this is part one. Joining me on this episode or this very first podcast is defensive coordinator Coach Davis Lowry, defensive back Coach McGuire, and captain and player of last week's game, Jake Yavorsky. He's the middle linebacker and a senior coming into his year. I really enjoyed talking to the gentleman. Wait till you hear what they go through to play football. Let's just get to it.
Yeah, Coach McGuire.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Coach. How are you doing?
Good.
Jake Yavorsky. Oh, I'm going to hear that name in the future soon, I got a feeling.
Hopefully.
All right, listen, Jake. When you're coming up to take on a blocker, you're having the guard issue, and your elbows are going out when you're taking on your blockers as a linebacker. You make really good contact, and I've been watching film on you, by the way. And so as you take on contact, guards, you're out here, elbows always at the grass. Take on the blocker, elbows at the grass. That makes you have to stay lower than them so you get separation. Remember, if the blocker gets into you here, you lose. Elbows down, straight out. That's all I'm coaching today.
Good. Oh, we appreciate it.
Well, you guys got to run out to practice here in about 45, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you headed out there today. Well, you know, I wanted to have you guys on the show for various reasons, but when I was told of the adventures of which the Kodiak football team goes on to play a game I love so much, it moved me. I was like, when you got to hear about the pampered South Florida athletes, that if they stub a toe, they like sit down out of wind sprint. And you got these boys riding deadliest catch seas to go play the game. Sleep, I mean, I don't want to give it away, but that's what really brought me into it. And the fact that, you know, my brother's up there and I know you, Big Bro, when you put your heart into something, that your coaching is where your heart is. And I wanted to be a part of it. And I'm being, that's the truth. Selfishly, I wanted to be a part of it. And if this is a way that we can help get the word out there, you know, about what you guys are battling and the struggles that you're going through for the funding part to try to make this season happen, then that's what we're going to try to do. And I can't wait to follow you guys all season. We're going to try to even check in with you Friday night at halftime live. And so we could go down to the field and check in with our reporter, Noel Lowry, and see how the boys of Kodiak are doing, if that's okay with you guys.
Yeah, and we actually play on Saturday at 2 o'clock Alaska time.
Okay, that's right. You told me that before. All right, so on Saturday then we'll be going to the sidelines with somebody to keep up with you all. There's a lot of people already on social media that have been responding to the post and following you guys and are ready to, as my listeners say, are rampage ready for the Kodiak boys to surprise the state of Alaska this year. That's my hype speech.
No, if it would have fit your rampage mantra if you had seen the game in the monsoon on the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska last week. Here we are traveling the ferry, as I told you before. And then we take the very interesting school bus ride with the most interesting school bus driver that I've ever seen in my life.
Before we go into the story, though, I want to, if it's okay, can I get a little background? I'm going to give away your background, Big Brother.
Let's not do that.
Not all of it. No, not all of it. I wouldn't do that to you. I think there's a really cool contrast here with you. from coaching down in the Keys. But if we can we start with Coach, why did I forget? Oh, my God, I'm rude. Coach, was it Mark? Mark?
McGuire.
I was close. All right, so Coach McGuire, can we get a little background on kind of what brought you to Kodiak, how you coached there, and then maybe over to Jake, a little brief bio on there, and then move to you. I can't call you Coach Lowry. That's weird. And big brother, and if you would, you tell the story, though, seriously, from the Keys and the crab game up to this, and then let's go into what the travel's like, if that's okay.
Well, yeah, I'm originally from Montana, and I coach in Montana and Maine. And my wife and I, we moved up 3 years ago, and I worked up on the slope in the oil field. And then 2 years ago, I got a teaching job here at Kodiak High School. I coached defensive backs 2 years ago for the football team, and it was a true eye opener to see the travel and all the things that go into making all this possible. So it's been a heck of a ride. It's definitely different. But these guys, I mean, they've been doing it since they were, you know, in junior high. So it's old hat to them. It was new to me. And Coach, it's been pretty interesting to watch him adapt to the, you know, the 10-hour ferry ride and everything else. So.
Okay. So from Montana, did you play ball yourself?
I did. Yeah, I played. I played in high school, and then I played at MSU Northern in Montana.
Okay. Defensive back, I take it.
I did, yeah. I played corner. So.
What was the 40? If you're corner, you got to be quick.
He's quick. I could run. Used to be able to. Age takes that away a little bit. So.
That shit sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Enjoy it, Jake. Enjoy it, Jake.
Yeah. And you.
So, Jake, born, raised, Kodiak, give me a little brief bio on yourself. Kind of like you would write it on Facebook or something, or Twitter, or whatever the cool kids use.
My family's from North Carolina. My dad's in the Coast Guard, so we got our orders here, and it was the last place I expected to come to Alaska. So when we got here, I was a little unorthodox at first, but you get to like it. At first, it's pretty exciting getting to travel, see the state and stuff, but then it starts to get old. After the 10-hour ferry rides and everything, it's not as fun as it sounds.
And you still do it.
Yep.
I love it that we have to. We're going to come back to that, Jake. I love it. So originally from North Carolina, Coast Guard father brings you out to Alaska. And you've been in Alaska since you were how old?
Well, I got here in seventh grade, so right around 13.
Okay, about 13 then. And you're a junior this year or a senior? You're a senior, right?
Yeah.
Okay, senior. Senior middle linebacker, number 59, right?
50.
Oh, 59 last year then.
Yeah.
I'm even watching last year's tape, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't play linebacker last year, though.
The end, right?
Then, yep.
Oh, you've been vetted, Jake. You've been vetted. Big brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, take me from, just tell the damn crab story.
All right, that was my first job as a coordinator. In South Florida, and we had, in the Keys, we had a game against, then number 2 LaBelle. And then right after we played number 3 Moorhaven. Anyway.
Your powerhouse Florida school, man.
Yeah, you know. And then we went to Miami for 3 games after that, but, so we're playing them and you know how we had a tropical wave come in and turn into a tropical storm, right? You know.
Now you're coaching on Marathon, right? On the Keys of Marathon?
Yeah, in the Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, I guess about, close to halftime, the tide came in and we got that whole wave that came across and, the water lifted up out of the mangroves, came onto the field and chased, thousands of land crabs and all kind of stuff on the field. And, you know, one similarity is they just wanted to keep playing because, the refs had probably driven, you know, LaBelle had driven 4 hours, the refs had driven a while and they just kept right on playing.
This isn't like, to be clear to the listeners, this isn't like 6 crabs we're talking here. We're talking an end zone full.
We're talking a field full, like between 600 and 700.
Now you told me one of your corners knew the trick when they were going out for a pass when the Crabs were on the field?
Well, yeah, that was the one way we got the one of our turnovers. We, you know, and our offense did too. We turned the ball, we got the ball back, turned the ball over, and if you had run a flag route, corner route in the end zone, it was about knee deep in water by the fourth quarter. So the corner, he runs and jumps into the pool of water. The corner keeps running and, of course, gets knee deep in water and falls down. And we catch the ball. That's a very long time ago. But
a hell of a contrast. You go from coaching on Marathon in the Keys to Alaska.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, if you had seen the heart after going through that and, you know, it was really nothing different. Actually, it was an easy ride for these guys.
Walk me through you guys, because a lot of people, you know, they're not going to know Saturday play, and a lot of people don't understand, you know, pregame and all that stuff too. Walk us through, you know, what you really have to prepare for before you actually get into what it is you actually have to endure.
I'll turn that over to Coach and Jake. They've been doing it for a while, especially the playoff. You got to ask Coach about the playoff game story where they had 20 minutes to get ready and they're all puking.
And oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, like, last weekend we left Kodiak. We met at the ferry dock at 10 o'clock on ferry. We left there about noon and we got into Homer at about 9.
Yeah, 9:30. Yeah, quick ride, easy ride.
Sat for about an hour, waited for the bus. It was late and got on the bus, rode 2.5 hours in the Kiski. Got up there, hit Walmart, got some breakfast, you know, some good donuts and whatnot.
At midnight.
Yeah, there's nothing to eat. So got up in the morning. Walked down to Uxbay, had a little bit of breakfast, then we went down to the game, got warmed up, played ball.
How long was the ferry ride you took to the bus?
It's about 10 hours.
You see, you brushed right over that part, and for me, that's like, excuse me?
Yeah, it's about a 10 hour ferry ride.
And then, 10 hours on a ferry boat?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, they got food and stuff on the ferry, so it's
not the best food, but it's food.
Yeah, it's first class.
Okay, all right, you South Florida athletes that are listening, complaining about your charter buses that come complete with 5-star meals and you got to drive 2 hours to a game. I don't want to hear nothing. I didn't curse you like that.
Yeah. So we got done with the game, then we loaded up, went down, got some food, drove down the peninsula down to Homer, about 2.5 hours away. Slept in Homer's high school's mat room for the wrestling thing on air mattresses. That's what we sleep on. And then
it's about 100 degrees in there.
Yeah.
And the only reason it's either sleep on the old wrestling mat that hasn't been cleaned for a whole school year. It's about 100 degrees in there. You will pour with sweat. Now, actually, remember that Homer High School was doing us a favor by letting us in the wrestling room.
Because otherwise,
we would have had to stay in the gym loft where we did Friday night in the Kiski. You know, the storage loft on the little concrete storage loft over the gym?
Yeah.
That's where the kids slept, went to bed about 2 o'clock Friday night, got up Saturday and played a ball game. JV played at noon. And then after all the game and everything, drive to Homer, like you said, for a couple, 2.5 hours. And then they let us in the gym or the wrestling room. And then they had to get up at 3:30 a.m. and get to the ferry. So they got a couple hours sleep there. Then it's another 10. Well, this one was a 14-hour ferry ride back.
14 hours there on the ferry, 2 hours on the bus there, play the game after sleeping in a sweat sauna wrestling mat that's covered in high school STDs, and then eat crap the whole time, dehydrate, you play the game, leave the game, 2 hour bus ride back to the ferry to take another 14 hour ferry ride home. Am I clear?
Basically, yeah.
Freaking extreme football, like Vince McMahon running the state of Alaska high school football team or what?
Wait till we go to North Pole. That's what we're trying to raise money. Adam, first, you would not believe, and we always talk about late season heart. You know, you find the heart of your team by the late season. They come together. They identify themselves. These kids up here, you know, this is, you know, a community that works hard, believes in football. The community pays for football up here.
We're here at the grace of our community and our parents and the generosity of hardworking people. This isn't, you know, there's no deep pockets here doing it. These are hardworking, you know, commercial fishing families. That economy here is about 78% of the economy, you know, our fishing families. And so
you have blue collar fishing town, and we know that the fishing market is not doing well right now, and struggling to even do that in this economy, and they still come together for these young men?
Yeah, they paid for a stadium, and the state, and correct me, Coach, if I get it wrong, but the state requires us to also, when we have a home game, we have to pay the travel of the visiting team. So not only do we have to pay the other teams to come to Kodiak to play.
Yeah, they'll raise the Kodiak Football League, which we fall underneath, they raise over $60,000 a year just to make this possible.
Just so we can play.
And just so you can take the 10-hour ferry ride, though.
Right.
Right.
I mean, now, is there a way that you could actually fly to these games and skip this whole, arduous travel?
If Alaska Airlines and Raven or whomever would give us a little bit better break, the first price we got was nearly $1,000 a ticket.
I can fly to you from Orlando with one stop for $400.
Yeah, it's about $350 from here to Anchorage, and then it's a bus ride anywhere else, you know, long bus ride to any of the games that we play.
Can we look up who owns Alaskan Airlines, if they own it outright or if it's another big ass company? My bet it's going to be corporate freaking America. But yeah, so they could essentially, Alaska Airlines, safely fly an entire team of high school. Now, do the cheerleaders and all and everything go with you?
No, we can't afford that.
So Alaska Airlines could make this happen with no problem whatsoever, and instead Alaska Airlines chooses to put an entire football team in danger, because these seas get rough, don't they?
Yeah, they get pretty rough sometimes, like 12-foot swells.
They had our president of our league told me a story where there were 20-foot seas, and Kodiak made the state playoffs. There were 20-foot seas. They showed up. About by the time the ferry got obviously delayed in these seas, everyone's, matter of fact, the assistant coach then told me he was having to hold the kids' heads up in the bathroom and take turns in the stalls throwing up. Then they got to the game. The state and the game officials refused to postpone the game even an hour. So the kids, by the time they had to get on a school bus, drive up to the state playoffs. Then they arrived at their playoff game 20 minutes before kickoff, and you'll have to make sure from there. Then, at least the story I was told. And, of course, walking onto the field, vomiting and trying to hydrate and then play the first half, get, 20-some points down or get 20 points down, fight all the way back in the second half because they're getting hydrated at halftime, laying on the ground, trying to drink water, and come back within 1 point of the state title, you know, years ago.
How long ago was that? A couple years ago.
I'd have to say
it was 2007, 2008. Could be wrong.
Alaska Air Group.
Right. Kodiak actually lost football because they couldn't afford it for a few years, as I understood it. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard four different versions, but.
Yeah, I'm not positive about that.
Okay.
They've been close. They've been close a couple times.
And despite all that, you all still come through and fight. Now, I love how you brush over 20-foot swells. I heard Gordon Lightfoot start to play, personally. You know, for those of you youngins out there, Gordon Lightfoot sings a song about the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on Lake Superior. Listen to it. It's an awesome song. But unless you've really never been in the seas to where the waves truly turn the minutes to hours, you can't understand the 20-foot swell, okay? Those of you listening, a 20-foot swell, imagine your boat sinks down into a valley and two basketball goal-sized waves is around you in a swell to the other side. Okay? Put yourself there, and there are high school kids on a boat doing that to go play football when Alaskan Airlines could simply not make that happen. And I am talking about the Alaska Air Group Incorporated. They're a public traded stock. You can find them on the NYSE at ALK. And the key person there, Brad Tilden, is the CEO. So listeners, you hear what Alaska Airlines did. They said $1,000 and we'll take you and we'll make sure these kids get to where they need to get to and not be sick and in danger. But instead, Brad Tilden, the CEO of Alaska Air Group, decides to go, $500, $1,000, we'll take you there.
Yeah, they did come back and cut the price.
All right. For what, $100 a piece?
I'm not sure of the actual, but it was significant reduction. I know for our team it was about $32,000 initial quote, and they cut it to for the North Pole just for one game, $16,000. Now we got to go to North Pole. That's an 18-hour ferry ride for the kids, and a 12-hour bus ride after that to get to the field.
What the? Okay, how much? How? What the fuck? How much? This is crazy. How much do you guys need to raise to where we can get these young men off of this ferry and not seasick to a game to go play they love? And listen, the kids keep doing it year after year. They do it because what we do in psychology is we normalize environments so we can still continue to get the reward that we want. And so we know, I guess there's no question that the boys on your team, the boys at Kodiak, really want to play football.
Coach, you know, the heart, Coach and I talked about, and I touched on late season, you know, tenacity and form. And I can tell you, Adam, I'm not sure after game one, it would be hard to say any team, you know, I was that proud of their heart after game one. You know, they go down with a minute 19 left and in a pouring rain and a spread offense.
You told me this team was supposed to kill you guys.
Yeah, won a state runner-up last year in their division.
All right, so to put it in perspective, listeners, if you're just catching in on the podcast, these young men travel 14 hours in crap seas to a two-hour bus ride after being seasick possibly. So I remember you telling me kids couldn't even lay down. They were rolling around on the ferry.
If it gets rough on smaller boat, yeah.
And then they go sleep and sweat it out in a sauna on mats and eat crap Walmart food before they can go play because they're on a budget to go do this. To just so they know, now typical, I love it, how they define bravery, right, is knowing what's going to happen, but you go anyway, is bravery. And you're going to go play the state runner-up team who is basically supposed to JV squad your guys, your team. And what happened? All right, walk me through the game, man.
Well, we started out, we got there, we were running the spread this year, and we weren't supposed to have any weather, and of course it started pouring rain, and these guys, they got 5 turnovers during the game, they gutted it out, and the kids, we got down to the end, they made a big drive, scored with a minute 13 left, and then we ran 3 plays and scored, and
Well, Jake, you're sitting there like a middle linebacker, brother. Literally, you got Sam and Will on either side of you here, and that's a football reference, you listeners. Sam is strong side linebacker, Will is weak side linebacker, Mike is middle. So walk me through it. You've done this now since ninth grade, right, Jake?
Yep.
Did you experience the seasickness your first year or something?
Oh yeah, you start to build a tolerance to it, but at first it's just awful. Like throwing up when it gets rough, it's just terrible. You take like a few melatonin and go to sleep, try your best, but it just gets rough. And the only thing you can really do is try to sleep through it.
And is that your routine? I'm sure you have a routine on how you maintain. Is there any special thing you try to take with you that normally you wouldn't be taking with you?
You just try to eat light, and if it gets rough, just lay down before you get too sick. Because once you're
This is a high school football team, and did you hear what this young man just said? You just go to sleep and hope you don't get sick. In 10 hours. My God, Jake. So what does your mind go through as a player when you're walking onto a game after you've been through all this?
You just got to have, like, a chip on your shoulder and know that these guys, just they've been in bed all day. They're at home, you know, they're comfortable. But you just got to play your hardest no matter what.
Wow. I am floored with this, man. I'm being an ex, you know, player myself. I had never experienced any travel like that whatsoever. I feel bad forever bitching that I had to take a bus anywhere. I mean, Jesus, This is great. And people listening, we can change this, so you know. What I need everybody to do that's listening, if you can, tell a friend of a friend, please. Share it on your social media. You can find it on all of our social media here at the Cognitive Rampage. But go to GoFundMe.com Boys of Kodiak. So GoFundMe, Boys of Kodiak. They just opened it an hour before we brought them on this podcast, and today's Thursday. You're going to be listening to this Friday or so. But please, everyone listening, they need your help. These boys, they do it anyway. The coaches go through it with them. The small town comes together for this team and really puts it together. They by no means are supported by any Silver Spoon sponsor of any kind. And I'll speak it because they can't, but it sure sounds like the state is doing their best to make sure the Kodiak boys can't play football. And I think it's our job, you listeners and myself, to make sure that the state cannot stop Kodiak from playing. And let's get Alaska Airlines to freaking comp these boys' rides at minimum to the North Pole, if not every freaking year, because this is the power of what the Cognitive Rampage can do. Please, 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 please go to Boys of Kodiak on GoFundMe and help them out. The heart that's in there in this squad and that I'm learning, they really could use you. Now let's talk football, if that's okay.
Awesome.
Now let's get into football, man. We get this stuff out of the way, especially to ask the Alaskan Airlines. That's funny. So it's, you're walking in. Well, give me the play-by-play. Take me first quarter, second quarter. You know, give me the heat of the game. Put me there, man. Give me some ESPN 30-30 shit.
Well, the first play, we were on offense first play. We got the ball. And the first thing that happened, I was like, our quarterback got sacked the very first play. And I was like, here we go. We're about to get into this. Like, I was expecting that it would be a close game, but the first play he goes down and I was a little like disappointed. I was hoping for better than that, but we came together. The second drive we got the ball, we scored and mixed our extra point. So it was 6-0. And then, second quarter or next drive, the kids ran down the field. They scored on it. So 7-6. And then it was just like the next two quarters, absolutely nothing. Just stalemate, 0-0.
And it was monsooning, I heard, right? It was just coming down, Coach McGuire, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, it was a rainstorm, that's for sure. During the fourth quarter, on the headset, I said, I don't think it can rain anymore. Probably about 2 minutes later, the skies opened up and it let loose.
Again, so you're running a spread offense for the first time against the state runner-up after traveling 18 hours, sauna in your sleep, your quarterback sacked from the beginning, which we all know the first play sets the tone. Well, apparently not. You're battling off and off. Your spread offense is basically kaput because you can't throw anything. And it stays, what, 6-7-6 for how long?
7-6. It was just like a stalemate for the longest time. And then until finally.
Before halftime?
Huh?
Was it 7-6 all the way to halftime?
Yeah, 7-6 at the half. And then around the third quarter, we had a few turnovers in our favor. But it was just a stalemate the whole time. And then Nikiski Dick goes down the field. They score. We're down with like 1 minute left. And then
I'm walking you through it, Jake. I know you lived it, buddy, and it's fast, but the listeners got to keep up. So they're up by one touchdown.
Right.
Third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What turns it around, man? What was it? Did Coach McGuire or Davis give you the Al Pacino speech at halftime? What happened?
Well, we just had to come together, you know. It was like they told us we couldn't quit. We refused to lose, you know. We had to come together as a team and just trust each other, you know, rely on each other. Know that the man next to you is going to do his job and just rely on each other. We knew we were going to win. We all had the mindset that we weren't going to lose, so we just kept on playing.
I love it. So we got 7-6, third quarter. You guys are coming out at halftime like, we got this. Walk me through the third and fourth quarters.
Well, Jake didn't tell you the very first series after that sack. The reason we turned them around on their play number 13 of the game, but play 5 of the drive, we get them fourth and short. Jake makes a downhill scrape to the weak side and bangs the running back dead stop half yard short of the first down.
Woo!
Hard ball.
Sorry, listeners, that was loud. I'm sorry. But that's what linebacking's about. I'm an ex-linebacker. See, that's the plays that don't go on ESPN, Jake. We're unsung heroes, man.
Jake stopped the third series drive the same way. Big solo tackle, no gain. Bang. He stops the third series in its tracks.
forces them to punt.
The yeah. two big stops in the first half, that those are game-tone setters, Jake. And a humbled man, I see. A humbled young man skips right over the fourth and short stop.
At the end of the first half, here's what else he didn't tell you. They get a short field, right, and several times. Jake has a solo.
Closer to their end zone to score.
Jake has a solo in every series in this game, by the way. So, and in the third series, I told you he stopped them. Last series of the half, they're driving after completing one of their few passes they did complete in the game, 20-yard pass. We had a breakdown. They're getting pumped up. First down, they're driving with time going in the half. It seems like they think they're getting momentum. Jake makes a nasty hit, a beautiful, and where the ball just goes boop and goes in the air. That kind of hit sticks them. You know, the wing tee thought they were going downfield. It opens up. Jake fills the hole. You know, he's been working real hard on understanding against that offense and a slant. It's going to open up and open up fast. He comes, trusts himself, downhill scrape at 100 miles an hour, two explosive steps. He hits the guy, stymies him, ball flies in the air, our ball.
No. Woo, and what quarter are we in here?
That was the end of the half.
Oh, you ended the half with that stick, Jake.
You got it back, kneel it down after, or, yeah.
How'd that feel, Jake?
It was like a great feeling. That's like all hard work paid off. That was, as soon as I hit him, I knew it was just one-on-one in the hole. It was just a great feeling.
Woo! I'm getting all hype. It's been long since I played. Sorry. I'm living through you right now, Jake. All right, so we come out the half. Walk me through it, Coach.
Well, yeah, the third quarter, it was back and forth. We got a couple turnovers in the third quarter. We had a couple sophomores that just stepped up big time, young kids, starting at free safety. And
who were they?
But, on offense, we were having some trouble moving the ball. We had, I think it was in the third quarter, we had outside linebacker pick one off, run it back down to about 10, and then we pounded it in from there. So that was.
Who was the player that made that interception, the two picks in the, third?
It was, Jay Miranda, one of our junior, Sam linebackers.
Okay, so Sam linebacker and then one of your corners.
Our free safety Walker comes up earlier, fills the alley really well, and causes a fumble later on in the, it was late in the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. They started with a solo tackle from number 50 next to me here. And they really change things up, think they're going to fool us. We get a couple big plays, and then our sophomore free safety makes a great interception, gives the ball back to the offense.
What's the count right now? What's the score right now?
Was it 12? Because you put your second score in and.
Mm-hmm.
12-7 us.
12-7 us going into the late third quarter after a pick from the free safety for you guys. Okay.
Go ahead, Josh. We had that.
That's when they.
So we're moving into the fourth quarter. They're still up though, right? Or you're up the one touchdown, 12-6. You're going into the fourth quarter. What's the feeling, Jake?
Well,
yeah, you better.
Well, I guess we're going into the fourth quarter now, or late fourth quarter. It's back and forth, and then the interception's part of it. Offense gets close. We had a rolled snap or two in the wet weather that stymied us. We know the wheel's there. We know it. Coach knew it was there. We just needed to get the play off. And the rain by now is about as, it's like, if you know that soaking hard rain that we used to get in Central Florida with the lightning, if you imagine that staying for an entire two quarters.
Good God, you'd swim.
Right. So, I mean, it's monsoon conditions out there. And just wet. Just, you can't do anything to dry the ball by now. You can't, you know what I mean? But defense gets into the ninth series of the game. You know, by now we've got 50 plays on the field or maybe 40, 45 plays. And we stop them third and short. They get it. Our kids are really tired. They're giving all they have. I mean, I got seven guys going two ways. after that whole trip you talked about, 7 or 8 of our guys go two ways. So we're getting fourth quarter late now, right? So we stop them, and then they get 5, and then we had a tackle for loss by Pillins, our big tackle up front. Up front guys are playing, and you see them, and you know, it would be one of those slow films you'd see with guys with mud all over them, and you don't know if it's sweat or blood or what dripping off of them, and they've been slanting and hitting people all game on both sides. It really, if you slowed the film down, it'd be a heck of a story. And they were giving all they had. We'd stop them for a tackle for loss. They'd get 7 yards on the next one. You know what I mean? He came up with a matter of fact, they got called with a penalty, but he didn't. They did a big solo. It was a 9th series of the game. It was a 12 play drive. And they got a long pass play that set them up, and we had one mistake, and a couple that, you know,
so they put one in.
And they go down after 12 plays and barely get in with a minute 19 left and take the lead.
Okay, minute 19 left. They just score. Your boys are worn out. It's the wars going on. What's the count? 15-12?
Yeah, 15-12.
Okay, so you're down 3 points and your offense gets the ball back with a minute 9 left.
Yeah, it was at that point, when they punched that in, I mean, I think that would be pretty easy for those guys to just roll over right there. But I remember going out talking to them, and they're standing there. They got grass and mud and everything all over their face. There was not 1 ounce of quit in them.
No.
That was the most impressive thing. So they kicked off to us, and we had a freshman catch it, run it back to the 50. And then
Who's the freshman?
Caleb Finley.
Yeah.
Is his name.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So
freshman, way to go, young man.
Yeah, and then we came out. We had the crossing routes were there all day, and called the play. We were spread out 5 wide. Quarterback Andres Garros, he takes off, makes a fantastic run down the sideline to probably about the 15, and then there was a clip on it. So we came back. We ran one play, incomplete pass, and then the next play, we finally hit that crossing route. We've been trying to get it all day. Gio Martinez, who's the junior. Caught it, went all the way across the field, and Jeff Arreal, a sophomore that I don't know if he's ever played football before.
No.
And he had ran a deep route. He came back, made a game-changing block, cracked back, and he scored it down the sideline and won the game. So it was.
And so that put you guys ahead. So what a battle from the 50 in less than a minute, even on clipping penalties. You're coming back. Some of the young men on your play that have never played make amazing blocks, and you guys put one in. And so you go up, what, 18-15?
Yeah, at that point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is that how it ended, or how did it go, Coach? So now your defense is on the field.
No, I wish it would have ended right there. We weren't done with the heart attack yet.
What do you got, 30 seconds left?
No, there's at that point. Yeah, they score with 34 seconds left, right?
Yeah.
They complete one and we change up the defense, so that we can do, you know, use more of a read technique up front. So we're screaming that. They complete a they have a nice play. Matter of fact.
So they're coming out with 34 seconds left, and this team was state runner up last year. It is very probable that this team puts one in, no problem.
Well, we won't say no problem against Kodiak, but.
No, according to the papers in the state and everybody else, not us.
Right, according to that, right. They come out with a 14 yard pass, and, our sophomore corner makes a great play to come back and save it 2 plays in a row. We knew what they really wanted to get, and we're telling our guys, you know, read technique, hit the shoulder and gap control, and if he peels, you peel, if he pulls, you pull, that kind of deal.
You just spoke the language to half the listeners. But yeah.
and our senior, Cordell Pillins, he peels with the screen, and, they set up a nice ball, but he's a defensive tackle, inside tackle. And matter of fact, he was at a zero eye technique in the middle and peels with the screen, and, they try to complete it, and he picks it off, and, yeah, 300 pounds runs down the field, 40 yards and scores, and it ends the game.
Oh, so your big boy up front at 300 pounds pulls a Chris Berman and rumbling, stumbling all the way down.
our own Kodiak Bear runs down the field and scores.
Right? Just for one more nail in the coffin.
That ended it. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I get all goosebumpy and stuff. I was getting a play-by-play from Noel, so. Oh, that's all. And that's just the first game of the season. State runner-up, Kodiak goes through all that stuff, and the boys of Kodiak put it to them after all that stuff. North Pole boys, you better watch out. It's an 18-hour ferry ride. It seems they get meaner with the longer the ferry ride.
Well, you'd have been proud of these young guys. You talk about no quit and heart. That's on the kids, man. They didn't ever stop. You know, even the coaching staff, I was scripting the final series. I just knew we were going to score. You had that feeling on the sideline. It was that buzz that it was.
Jake, what was the buzz, Jake? What? Tell me about the feeling, man. Walk me through it.
At that point, I felt like our team really just came together. Like, we all knew we wanted to win this game just as bad as anything. And, I could tell we weren't going to quit. We wanted to score, and we were going to do it no matter what.
You'll remember that forever, Jake.
I will. It was a great feeling. You can't take away a victory from somebody. Victory is a lifetime.
They definitely are. Maybe we don't want to get you guys off the ferry. It seems to make you guys real hard. I don't know. Maybe it's counterintuitive. No? I don't know.
You didn't hear any of us respond.
Well, hey, we're superstitious, man. You start changing stuff up like that, man.
Oh, we're not that superstitious here.
Yeah, agreed. And again, and everyone listening, please go to GoFundMe.com right now. The boys of Kodiak / from GoFundMe.com. $1, $5, whatever you can put toward it to get these boys in a safe place. Heck, if you can't donate money, email Alaskan Airlines how messed up you think it is that they won't help these boys out get to where they need to get to. Social media is powerful and it can do things if we care enough. And if we push enough, and the Cognitive Rampage is a voice for that, a voice for coaches like you two and players like you that need the help and that give everything they got for what they chose to do in life. Yeah, it sounded like my rampage was going to go on for a while, didn't it? Yeah, that's kind of a short rampage for me.
Yeah, your listeners would probably think that.
Yeah, that was weak, man.
They're waiting on the next one. No, you're just building the next one. That's all.
That is. I'll get tangential. Watch out. That means I'll talk forever. Man, I love getting put back there. You know, some of the, I don't know, I think the best times I had in my life were on the field there, you know. And Jake, hearing you guys go through this, man, and I wish I could be in Alaska helping coach or hell, put me up in the box virtually and let me read the field or something. Oh, it's getting sad, isn't it?
You have an invitation. I think coach wouldn't object.
I don't know.
I'm in. Hey, apparently I can get an Alaska Airlines flight for about $300. And I can get there. Yeah, so are you guys okay doing this, you know, once a week, sitting down, coaches, if it's okay, I don't know, I would like to have whoever you guys nominate as the player of the week, or player of the game or whatever, to come on to the show each week, if that's okay.
Well, and if you want, you can pick your show's favorite player or stats or for the week. Jake's stats, 12 solos, 6 assists, and a forced fumble. And he played offensive guard the whole time.
My God, man.
That second touchdown we scored, we ran right behind him the whole time. So.
You're a beast, Jake.
No, he's the man.
What college are you thinking about, Jake? Anybody looking at you? Where you want to go?
I have no idea. I'm just keeping all my doors open right now.
Whoever pays for it.
You know me, Adam. I made a few phone calls for him that he probably doesn't know about until right this minute. But, you know, we'll see. I know you have some help, too. You're going to help him as well.
Of course.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They need a big linebacker. And with the integrity and fight that he's got, or a tight end, he could easily fill in as a tight end. He's got the frame to fill in either way.
You know, and there's a stat that is pretty much untrackable, but I think is only seen by coaches, and that's the stat of leadership. It's hard to grade that stat, but on any team, I don't care how talented, without a leader, the team falls apart, period.
We agree.
Yep, that's why he's a captain.
No, the already nominated captain.
Yep.
Oh, man. Fellas, I know it's 9 p.m. here in Orlando, and you guys are headed out to practice. out there soon. I don't want to hold you guys up, but if you're good doing this every week, we can sit down every week like this after the game and talk about Saturday. Who you guys got coming up in 2 days?
Eagle River.
You playing Eagle River this Saturday?
Yeah, they were a large school that moved down into our division.
So they're cutting weight and they're going to get whooped.
Yeah, they've been playing up there. They're just right outside of Anchorage. They've been playing up there for the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. And they just come down this year into our division. So
on your dime?
On our dime.
Yeah. They're bringing 65 guys out. So.
And the cheerleaders, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to pay for their cheerleaders and their whole freaking every world to come down here, and you guys can't even take your dang cheerleaders with you.
No.
You know what? Hey, you cheerleaders out there and ex-cheerleaders, man, these girls are trying to cheer and do what they do, and I know some of you that cheered have the time of your life, too. And so it affects these young women, too, that are trying to cheer and enjoy their high school careers. So it's not just about the boys of Kodiak, either. It's about the girls of Kodiak, too, those cheering them on and wanting to go on the game. So please, go to GoFundMe.com, find Boys of Kodiak, donate to these boys. Please, get them out there. Just please back them up. Coaches, Jake, I love you guys so much for coming on the show. I look forward to chatting with you guys next week and hearing about how Eagle River got a free comp ride to come down to for an ass whooping.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for having us on. We appreciate it.
Sure. Appreciate the help.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we go, what's the website to find information like your schedule and stuff?
It's the KIBSD is the school website. It's on there, KIBS.org.
Okay, KIBS.org. Go there, find the Kodiak Bears. You'll find their schedule. We're going to be following them all week anyway, so we'll check in once a week and see if we can work out that halftime check-in from Florida to Alaska. But, again, Jake, if you want to, I don't know if you do the Twitter thing or any of that stuff, Jake, you can put your Twitter handle out there if you want to get flooded.
Yeah, sure. I'm Yavorsky. I don't know. You might have some trouble spelling my last name. It's Yavorsky.
Okay. And that's where they can find you, coaches. If you want to put anything out there, websites, Facebook, the Twitter, anybody?
Yeah, we got the football Twitter is @1KodiakFootball.
Okay, @1KodiakFootball is the Twitter handle. Look them up. They'll be following me, and I'll be following them, too, on Twitter. Mine, everybody knows Adam Lowry or Cognitive Rampage. But you have the website. Again, please, GoFundMe.com/Boys of Kodiak. They just opened it not an hour before we went on this podcast. So don't judge that there's only a little bit of funds in there. My hat's off to the city of Kodiak for supporting these boys and these girls and what they want to do and the sports of it. My hat's off to that entire town that comes together because, you know, they're the ones that make it happen for you, coaches and Jake.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, it's what we're trying to do here is we're trying to build something that the community can be proud of. They do. They sacrifice. They every extra cent they get, they buy raffle tickets and help these kids, reach their dreams. So it really is a community thing.
Sure is. We even appreciate the other teams taking the same ride, coming over when they do. We sure wish we had some help with that expense, but I'm not sure that old rule needs to or should stand. But
when do you all travel again?
In 2 weeks, weekend of September 4th, we go up to place Vanya.
Okay, so Vanya, you're going to go play September 4th, and North Pole is right after them.
Yes, yeah, we go up to Soldotna. They're the 3-time state champs. They've won 30 in a row right now, Alaska record. So we go up, we play them, and then we turn around the next weekend and go to North Pole. So it's back-to-back.
I think it's every team we play after this week is top 10.
Okay. And for those, for those of you that don't know, there are people in North Pole. The North Pole is actually a rather large Silver Spoon type school as compared to what Kodiak is funded from the state. The state scheduled Kodiak to play these teams away and then forced them to pay for it, which is a crock of shit if you ask me. But that's all public record I found on my own, so the joys of the public school system. But so you're traveling September 4th north. How much do you need to pay for everybody, including the cheerleaders, to be able to fly to this game and avoid this? How long is this ferry ride coming up September 4th?
18-hour ferry ride and a 12-hour bus ride.
September 4th.
Yeah. Oh, no.
The weekend after. It's just the regular night.
10-hour.
10-hour plus two-hour bus.
I love that. It's a regular 10-hour ferry ride.
The short one. The shortest one.
That's the shortest. Oh, my God. All right. If we can, please, like I said, I'm saying it again because these boys deserve it. They're playing their hearts out. They're playing themselves sick, literally. And, you know, they need the help. So if we can, by September 4th, how much do you need to make sure you can book a flight?
Well, if it's by September 4th, I'm not sure. The North Pole one, I know, just to take our varsity and our subs and our coaches was $16,000.
Okay.
What we were quoted. And if we were going to add people, I'm sure that the price then goes up if we're going to add cheerleaders or in more JV. And
yeah, because with that, when we go to North Pole, we won't be able to take the JV. So those kids, they miss out on an opportunity to play.
And the cheerleaders don't go at all?
Just the varsity and the coaches.
No.
Okay, so you need $20,000 per se to get all the cheerleaders and all the boys and all the coaches that by September 4th to get them up north, and then you're going to need another $20,000 again the following weekend to get to North Pole, right?
Yeah, if we were just, I don't know what it would cost to go to Soldotna because we've already, you know, we have ferry, the boat's already booked, all that kind of stuff. But
if anything, the North Pole, we got to get these boys off an 18-hour ferry boat ride. If the ferries and all that are paid for that coming week, then listeners, we got to get them up to at minimum $16,000 before. September 10th weekend? September 11th. Look at that. September 11th is around the weekend. We have to get these boys $20,000 so they can take the cheerleaders with them because those girls deserve it too. And these hardworking boys to get them there to play the game that they love so much. So those of you that, you know, spend $5,000 on a Tuesday because you're bored, you know, there's some people out there that really need some help and you can do a lot of good for these people. So if you can, please, GoFundMe.com/boys of Kodiak. Help them out. Get them off an 18-hour ferry boat ride. And again, fellas, thank you so much for coming on. And good luck to you guys coming this Saturday. I hope you go out and repeat the same thing very much. The podcast is going to clip out on me here and all by itself, but we turn into a pumpkin. So I appreciate it again, guys. Any shout outs you want to give to anybody as we sign off here?
My line up front, mostly Cordell Tillins. He played a great game up front. And, Jay Miranda, he played a great game. Andreas Carlos, pretty much the whole team. We really came together as a team and it was just a all around good game for us.
And now at that point, get used to your speech, Jay, because at the end of that, you have to say, but we really want to give it up to our fans and coaches because without them, we couldn't make this done. You know, the whole rhetoric that they teach them to say every time. You have to start giving it to the fans, giving it to the coaches, and, Manchurian candidate your answers.
All right.
That was good, though. That was a good one, though, Jake. You're getting good at it. So your boys play for you up front. I appreciate it. Any coaches, any shout-outs, any love?
Just to the league. Our support in the community and the league. We wouldn't be here without them. The kids wouldn't get to play without them. I mean, hardworking folks here in Kodiak that support and love and understand the value of football.
Yeah. I mean, I just like to say thanks to the community and everybody else. And then thanks to you guys for taking on this story and kind of spearheading this thing to get us a little bit of help. It's a big deal.
I wish I could promise you the world and $30,000, but hey, all I can do is use my voice like I've done my whole life to annoy people enough to pay me to stop talking about it.
Well, we appreciate it. Even if it was enough to buy a few jerseys, they haven't had new jerseys in 12 years.
according to the story I got. So,
how much do you need for jerseys?
It was about $16,000 for new uniforms. So,
how the hell do those uniform people sleep at night? Oh my God. All right. Help these boys out. Again, coaches, enjoy the practice. Have a good one. Good luck this Saturday. We're going to touch base with you in the afternoon. Jake, keep it up, man. Call me if you got any linebacker questions, man. I can walk you through just about anything, man. And if I can't find it, I can definitely find you linebackers that know 10 times more than me. So.
Thank you.
You let me know again, fellas. Thank you very much. And, we'll, be talking with you guys hopefully Saturday afternoon. And, please, keep doing what you're doing, guys. We're behind you all the way.
Go Bears. See you Saturday.
Hey, I want you to check out another podcast that I listen to with two friends of mine. That's my buddy Chris Fisher and his friend Jesse Cage in the FNK podcast. You can catch them at fisherandcage.com, but look them up on iTunes. They're a great podcast. I love listening to the fellas each week, but that's the FNK podcast.